Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm so happy you guys are here. Michael, can you believe the amount of guests that Jonathan Redford brought along tonight for At Home with Victoria? I can't remember the last time we've had that amount of guests inside the chat room.
Absolutely. Welcome to all the new guests. And I know you're here for Jonathan because of his devilish good looks. My God, when you told me about Jonathan, I clicked on his Facebook page. I thought, oh, it is insane for someone to be that handsome. I couldn't even believe it. And then I listened to his music. I thought, oh, beautiful and talented. Oh, gross.
I know. And right. And, you know, when Jonathan comes on, and guys, it's only going to be in like the next minute or, you know, a couple of minutes, we're going to play one song first and then bring him on. I'm going to have to talk to him about this. I swear he has like the most perfect hair I have ever seen.
Yeah,
his hair is perfect.
Perfect. That is some good product he's using, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. But anyway, guys, so that who is Jonathan Redford is who is going to be joining us tonight. I mean, his resume is just absolutely incredible. You know, he's basically, he's an actor, he's a musician. I mean, you've seen him on Ally McBeal. He's been on Extra TV as a correspondent. He's done a lot of red carpet events. He's been on The Bold and Beautiful and Music. And, you know, you guys can continue to check his bio. He has done a lot. He came into my life real quick because one of his fans or a friend of a friend on Facebook sent me an email saying, hey, Victoria, I don't know if you know about this guy, Jonathan Redford, but his music is really good. He's out of Philadelphia. I know you and Michael love to have new talent and talent on the show. You should listen and give him an email. So, Michael, it was very cool. I emailed him, and literally within like a couple of hours, he emailed back. So I was like, wow. He goes, I'd love to be on the show. So that worked out perfectly. But before we get to the song, speaking of email, so MK, about 3 o'clock in the morning, because anyone that knows me knows as a journalist, ever since I've been anchoring morning shows, my life has never been the same. I don't sleep on a regular schedule, so 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm always up doing work. And then all of a sudden, I smell this smoke, and I'm thinking, that's weird. It smells like it's kind of close to me. Where could this be coming from? Make a long story short, my computer was smoking, and it caught fire and basically burned the entire inside. I thought, geez, I don't remember HP saying that there was a recall because there was a fire hazard on the computer. So thank goodness I have another computer in the office. But I thought, what is going on with me?
Death by Facebook, video at 11. You know, that's what it would have
been. Exactly. Tonight at 11 o'clock. But listen, guys, let's go ahead and listen to some of Jonathan's music. And then, Michael, right, we're going to bring him on.
Absolutely. This is Can't Say Now. And when we come back, we'll be visiting with Jonathan Redford.
You, always you, always and only you, you're the only you I ever knew. Then there's she, yeah, she, you know about she. You know she's the only kind that can change my mind so easily. And I know I can't say now. You say you
for Jonathan, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Hey,
brilliant tunage, my friend.
Thank you very much. You know, it's funny listening to it like that. You know, I feel I'm listening going, oh, man, I sound so young. And then I'm listening to it going, wow, the guy who really was my rock in doing this album, we did it all in our home. I mean, literally in my apartment in L.A. Was Dave Ring, him playing the electric guitar solo on that, just killing it. It just, you know, it's funny. You make a record, you don't listen to it after, you know, the first few months you listen to it every day, and then you don't listen to it for a while. And I haven't heard that song, the recording of it, for a long time, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool listening just now.
Oh, great. I think the question on everyone's mind is, where do you get your haircut?
Really? Do you think it's good hair? Thank you.
I think it's great hair.
Jonathan, listen, I'm telling you, like, Jonathan, you may think that is trivial because you're probably like, oh, it's just hair, whatever. But, man, I'm telling you, people love your hair. Our fans love your hair.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you. You know, what's funny is the place that I've been working the last 3 years, all the guys that I was working with, they would all make fun of my hair because they had none. So I'm happy to have it. You know, for the time being, I turned 33 on Friday, and for the time being, to have a full head of hair, I'm pretty happy about that.
It's a blessing.
Absolutely. Happy belated birthday, too.
No, it's on Friday. So
oh, it's on Friday.
Oh,
my
yeah.
God. 33. My goodness, I remember 33. Oh,
me too.
So young.
Me too.
Buddy, question. You were raised in a musical family, correct?
Yeah. My father is a composer. My grandmother and great-grandma were both opera singers. My father actually just did the arrangement for the new track with Adele in the Bond movie, Skyfall. Paul Epworth and Adele wrote the track. Paul and my father did the arrangement, and I had the amazing pleasure of being at Abbey Road at the end of August to watch my dad conduct a 75-piece orchestra to the track. It was incredible. And we got to meet Adele, and it just was a wonderful time and big success with the song and big success with the, you know, the movie, I'm sure. But really, all of that musical talent comes from the family, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Adele, what is she like in person? Is she as charming as I hope she is?
Super cool. She was very pregnant, obviously, and had already done her work. She was just there to kind of listen to the arrangement take life. And, you know, we chatted for 2 minutes, realistically. And she actually had a cute little puppy with her. And my wife picked her up, and the puppy was licking all over her face. So the funniest thing we remember is that my wife says, Tracy says, I'll never wash his face again. It was licked by Adele's dog. It was very funny.
And speaking of your wife, Michael and I were talking before the show. So Jonathan, Michael goes, oh, I looked at the pictures of Jonathan. He goes, oh, people like that make me so sick because they're so handsome. He goes, and then Vic, and then I saw his wife, and I thought, oh, you know, could the two of them just be any more perfect? I said, I know. So your wife, Tracy, is absolutely beautiful, and congratulations. I know you guys, from reading about you, just got married in that sense, so congratulations. But I wanted to get back to your family. When I was reading your bio, and everybody, if you're looking for Jonathan's information, our executive producer, Mar Bennett, has it inside the chat room. It's jonathanredford.com, so make sure you go there. A lot of information, pictures, photos, extras, and you can learn more about his CD that we're going to talk about. But it said that when that you guys were sort of like the Partridge Family, because you do come from a family of music. So, I mean, did you guys ever get together, like on certain times of the year, and sing together? I mean, how did that work?
Well, I think I can best describe it is that, yes, everyone in my family has musical talent. And when we get together at Christmas time, we Christmas carol probably two to three nights in a row, oftentimes walking out to the neighborhood, knocking on doors, four-part harmonies. I mean, we're a serious organization here. My sister, I've got two beautiful sisters, alto and soprano, and really they can switch off. My younger brother and I both sing tenor or bass. My dad can sing whatever. I mean, he can play whatever. He's incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. My mom's got a lovely voice. I mean, you put us all together, and it is kind of sickening to a lot of people, but it might as well be, you know, Edelweiss and The Sound of Music or Partridge Family, whatever the case. You know, it's a lot of fun, though. I mean, music is a huge part of what we do as a family when we get together, listening to music, playing music, talking about music, from everything, all worlds, classical to jazz mm-hmm. to pop music to world music. My brother is a Spanish speaker, was teaching Spanish for a few years after college, and he listens to, you know, salsa and Spanish music. And so we all bring mm-hmm. our different personalities. I'd probably say I'm the poppy one. I'm the one with the most pop sensibility, and I'm the one who, you know, has been trying to, you know, write music and record it and make a small, you know, career out of it for the time being. So other than obviously my father, who's making a career in television and film, if you look up his resume, my goodness, he's mm-hmm. he's done everything under the sun, incredibly, incredibly prolific. And so it's a lot of fun. I'd like to think that when you come and hang out with the Redfords, you are going to have a good time that's probably going to end or begin in a sing-along.
Now, what about musical instruments? Did you guys and yourself start that when you were a kid, and did it just come natural to you?
Yeah, well, my parents started us in piano. I was probably 4 years old when I started piano, and I liked it. I wasn't as committed to piano as, looking back, I wish I would have been. Because if I could have been, you know, an amazing pianist, it would have been awesome, right? But at about 9 or 10, I started getting antsy, and I begged my dad to play the drums. They said, "You can play the drums. We'll get you lessons as long as you join the marching band." And I was like, "No, I didn't want to be in the marching band." I think they knew I needed some discipline, so mm-hmm. I joined the marching band, or it was really actually just show band in 8th grade. I did do marching band for one semester of my freshman year in high school, and I played the quints. You know those like 4 or 5 drums that sit out in front of you?
Yeah.
It's actually really funny because, you know, doing a drum line, I was 95 pounds, 13 years old when I entered high school. Those quints were 45 pounds. So I had to like waddle on the field. It was pretty funny. After that, I was playing in a band in high school where I was the drummer. It was a Christian punk rock band called Upright. My buddy uh-huh. Josh Sager and Ben Stockwell, they put it together, and they just needed a drummer. And so that was a lot of fun, and that's when I really started thinking, hey, I could pick up the guitar. I could start learning that and start writing my own music, and wrote my first song to my first girlfriend when I was 15 years old and was hooked on
that.
Oh,
Michael.
Yeah. 15. Oh, yoy. Anyways.
Yeah, right. Now, I mean, sitting in a park at an elementary school at sunset, singing, you know, "How can I love you? What can I say? We're still
goodness.
So young, learning every day." It was
oh,
so
good
cheesy.
Lord,
hey,
how
she
wonderful.
Ate it up. She ate it up, and I got a good makeout session out of it. That's what music's for, right?
I
now,
love
both
it.
Of you, both of you were mentioning Keith Partridge. You were actually one of the finalists for Keith Partridge on VH1's In Search of the Partridge Family.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, it's funny looking back on that because, number one, my vocal and movement coach was Carrie Ananaba, who has gone on to huge things. One of my co-competitors for Keith was Teddy Geiger, who went on to a huge career, was signed by Sony right after that. And one of the young ladies up for Lori was none other than Emma Stone. So that little group had some serious talent in it. I was actually the oldest, and it was me and my buddy James were the only ones who'd ever done any acting work. Everyone else was kind of, you know, fresh from, you know, Missouri or Texas or Florida, and they kind of did a search across the country. Well, we were right there in L.A. They brought us in, and we were the first two voted off, which is pretty funny. James and I were like, "Hey, wait, we're the only one with experience. What's going on here?" But
right.
It was great. It was fun. And looking back at some of those relationships, too, was pretty cool.
Absolutely. Buddy, let's go back to some of the music. This, the music that I'm playing tonight are all from Color of My Dream. You can pick it up on Amazon.com. And actually go to his site, www.jonathanredford.com, and you can go ahead and pick it up there as well. But we're going to listen to Jonathan Redford with Already Gone. When we come back, still with Jonathan.
Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 di da. She walks in the room. She floated by me like a hot air balloon. I slouched in my seat. I dared not to get up. On my coat feet, she's already gone.
Jonathan, besides your family, who do you look to for musical creative juices? I mean, I hear a little bit of the Beatles in that. I hear a little bit of Morrison in that. But who do you actually look for inspiration?
Yeah, I mean, a number one in my book is the Beatles. Melodically, lyrically, they are supreme. I mean, I think it's widely accepted and understood, but I mean, I'm such a Beatles nerd. I took a class in college, 4 credits at University of Southern California, that was a Beatles, their life and history. I'm a big, big fan. And so, yes, I try and, you know, it's hard to maintain a pop sensibility and still be interesting. Everyone can put together a set of chords that sounds like a pop song, but the Beatles just did it so uniquely. And, you know, I try and add a little element of that. You know, those two songs that we've heard so far are probably two of the most poppy on the record. If you listen, you know, the record, and even the name of the record, Color of My Dreams, comes from John Lennon's Tomorrow Never Knows. He says, listen to the color of your dreams. And that's kind of what my, it says, I am listening, John, I'm listening. In my song, Color of My Dreams, it's a direct response to what he's saying, you know, the idea of creating and you know, using that, using the inspiration from your dreams to harness your own personal creativity. So that they are a huge influence, obviously. I love Van Morrison, absolutely. I'm a classic rock guy. My dad raised me listening to classic rock. So the Stones and Doors and Van Morrison and all those bands, yes. Don McLean's Starry, Starry Night. I love that song. And modern bands. I grew up, you know, in the 90s, basically, was my high school time. And Counting Crows were a huge influence on me. I love what they do melodically as well and with their instrumentation. I love Dave Matthews Band growing up. I'm a big, huge fan of Jason Mraz now. I think he just... the stories he tells and the way he wraps it all together and his production is incredible. So I, you know, I'd say everything from bands to singer songwriter music. But if you took a look at my iTunes, I mean, like I mentioned about my family, you'd see everything from classical music to jazz to hard rock to rap. Yeah, I went through my Eminem phase, didn't we all?
Absolutely. No. Jonathan, I want to switch over from music a little bit and talk about a subject that is very fun and that I love, and that's television, because I've been a television news anchor myself for more than 17 years. And I was looking at your bio on jonathanredford.com. So, guys, again, check out his website. And I'm sitting there, and I'm absolutely drooling. I mean, some of the things that you have had the opportunity to do during that part of your career is just, oh, my goodness, wonderful. Working for Extra TV, doing some hosting for NBC, having the opportunity to do a lot of stuff with the Direct TV's CD USA, the correspondent.
Yeah.
I mean, the appearances that you've made on Navy NCIS, CIA, not CIA, CIS, I'm sorry.
CSI.
Ally McBeal, Jack and Bobby, the Bold and the Beautiful. So let's switch and talk a little bit about that. So do you like hosting more, or do you like acting, or are they both just kind of equal in your book?
Well, you know, when you – thank you, by the way. You make it sound so glamorous. It's been a hustle. I mean, the entertainment industry is a hustle. And I came out of high school and college with a dream to just work in the entertainment industry. I was a film production major at USC, and I was a musical theater minor, and also was studying German. And when I came out, I said, what can I do? What can I get my hands on? I was lucky enough to get an agent for acting, and my first gig was CSI. I had, you know, a couple lines in the 6th episode of the first season, before it was even huge. You know, and that was super cool to work on. NCIS was probably my biggest TV role, you know, a guest starring role, and working with Mark Harmon and the whole ensemble cast there was really neat. The soap opera was fun because it's so easy. It's like acting class. I mean, you walk in, you rehearse twice, hit your mark, say your line, and you do it once and you're done. It was crazy. I was like, wait, do we get another take? And then after a while, it just becomes fun. It's a whole community. So it's interesting. The acting for television and film is a very unique – it takes a unique personality to do, because there's a lot of waiting around. It's 12- and 14-hour days, and you're on set shooting for a total of half an hour. You know, it takes a kind of patience, and it's not as gratifying because you don't see the work until months later usually. You know, working as a host and in the small amount of theater that I've done as well. And I grew up with theater. My second mom, Mary Kraloishi, at Sunny Hills High School, you know, taught me the theater. And I actually had the great opportunity to do the L.A. and Las Vegas productions of Rock of Ages before it went to Broadway, before it became a big major motion picture. And so I've done some live theater. That is such a rush. It is so fun to do. And I kind of would like to do some more of it. But the rush about hosting, which is really where I've made my career in the last 7 years or so, is that there is an immediacy to it. You're in the moment, like we're doing now. You're interviewing, you're talking, you're intelligently listening and answering questions. And I love that kind of interaction. I got to be on red carpets, you know, at major film festivals and Hollywood events. And I got to, you know, shoot it with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and Anthony Hopkins. I sat down and did an amazing interview at Sundance with Anthony Hopkins, and you know, he complimented me afterward, and I was like weak-kneed because, you know, he thought I was intelligent. and it's just, you know, those things are so gratifying, and they're so they really, you know, get you excited. In the end, it's really hard to make a career doing this. And for the last 3 years, I've been blessed to be at QVC as a show host. I just finished my 3 years there as of October 5th and had a wonderful time there and was really thankful for the work. And it was such a unique job. It was like a marketing career. It was like a business scholarship to work there, because every moment you're trying to figure out a way to really talk about a product in a unique way to make it special for someone who might want or need it. So I feel so lucky. I am just so darn blessed to be able to have had so many experiences, and I'm only 33. I got a whole career ahead of me. I don't know what God's got for me. I don't know what he's got for me coming
up, goodness.
But I'm super excited for it. You know,
at 33, are you kidding me? Like, you've got like more than an entire career. And it's funny because, speaking of QVC, since I'm, of course, such a news junkie, I don't know if you know the woman who fainted on air, but that made the rounds on all of the morning shows, all of the entertainment shows, like every single television station in America, every block, everybody was talking about that. And I don't know
Kathy,
what happened, but
Kathy,
I do know
friend.
That she said that she was low on blood sugar and that she's fine or something. But have you ever experienced anything like, you know, maybe like that live, or that you thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do?
Well, sure. I mean, when you do live television like QVC is, it is it's an adventure. And Cassie is a wonderful woman. She has I've worked with her for, you know, 3 years at QVC, and it's actually not the first time she fainted. She's kind of known as our little fainter. She's really good at what she does. She knows electronics really well. And she has just a real casual way of doing it that is really, I think, welcoming and inviting for our customer, or I should say the QVC customer. And she it's happened before. So there's kind of some behind-the-scenes joking about it. But, yeah, we all mean well. When we go on television at all random hours of the day, as you know, Victoria, if you just don't get the right kind of energy or the right kind of food, you can just lose it. And with live TV, It can all go suddenly wrong. I mean, I've lost it in the middle of the night, you know, selling and just broken up in laughter because I just couldn't keep it together, you know. Those types of things happen. I was fortunate, you know, while I worked at QVC to not have anything too dramatic happen.
Right.
I was spoofed, I think, on one of those talk shows like Soup or one of those buzz type of talk shows one time. I was doing like a workout, the insanity workout, and I was kind of really getting into it, and it was kicking my butt, and I was like crawling on the floor, and yes, I was hamming it up. I mean, come on, I'm a ham. but I ended up getting spoofed on one of those shows. It was pretty funny.
Vic and I have had this conversation a few times because I like to watch QVC just to see exactly how the hosts do it, because seriously, the one thing that I find the most challenging would be representing a product that you really think is stupid. You know, I watched, I think, a whole hour on this hair color that comes now in like a blusher brush, and she says, oh, it doesn't come off, it doesn't come off. Well, yeah, it doesn't come off, but how do you get it off the scalp? So it's those things where I find you guys to be so talented to take any product and make it sound like it's spun from gold.
I'll tell you, it is a unique, unique career. And the men and women who are doing it and have done it for 20 years are really brilliant at what they do. And I looked up to them as I was there learning it. And I'll tell you, let me tell you the thing that my one of my mentors, Dan Wheeler, told me. This changed my life. And it's all credit to him. Well, I hope he made it up because now I'm giving credit to him. We went in for a training when I was just starting there. And he handed me a number two pencil, and he said, I'll give you a minute, and then I want you to sell this to me. And, of course, I pick it up, and I look at it. Okay, well, it's a pencil. You can write with it. It's got lead. Okay, here we go. So this afternoon we've got a pencil for you. It's a number two. It's made by Ticonderoga, so you know it's a great quality pencil. And the eraser, really, really sharp. I mean, you just go off in these all stupid things, and you're thinking to yourself, what am I doing? And that's only been a minute. And then I've got seven more minutes to talk about it. And Dan says, all right, stop right there. And here's what changed my life. He said, this pencil in the hands of Walt Disney is the greatest animated character ever drawn. In the hands of Frank Lloyd Wright, it's the architecture you see all around you. In the hands of your grandmother, it's a love letter to your grandfather who was away at a war. That's what this pencil is. It blew my mind and my whole paradigm. My whole paradigm for QVC shifted because, yes, we offer a lot of things that you look at and say, wow, what is that? But somewhere out there, someone wants that or someone might need that. And, it was on us to spin that dream and make it available and make it desirable. And those few little comments, man, they changed my life, and they still do to this day because it's all about perspective.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I think my mind's a little bit blown.
Me too. Jonathan, we're supposed to be talking about, we're supposed to be talking about your music, and you're like changing our mind on other stuff. What is going on? That just messed me up.
Well, I'll tell you, the music thing, getting back to that, it's a passion of mine, and this really was a passion project. I was working with a guy who was at a record company that got lost its money and got folded into Warner Brothers. And unfortunately, I wasn't, brought along. So I had the choice, do I do it myself? Do I finish it? Do I make a record and put it out? Or do I just let it die? I couldn't let it die. I mean, when you listen to my record from start to finish, and it really is designed to be listened to that way, there's a lot of in-between songs and the story is kind of told with a overall narrative. It's my life. And if you want to know me or know my life, basically my 20s, that's what my record is. And it's amazing. After meeting my beautiful wife, we've written all this music together, and I'm super excited to be working on a second record and working on material to do a second record. And it's never something I thought I would do because I just didn't think I could make a career of it. But now I realize that it's an absolute passion of mine, and I want to do it more. And when you have inspiration, like I had when I met and dated and have now married my wife, it is great reason to make and share that music,
Absolutely. Let's go back to a little bit more of the music. After we come back, I want to go ahead and ask you about Sundance. I've had a number of friends visit the Sundance Film Festival and said it was a life-changing experience. So I want to ask you that after this song.
Sure.
This is Jonathan Redford, Try to Forget You Tonight.
One, two, three. Your scent on my pillowcase reminds me of you and the things we would do in my bed. It was cold, and you tried to stay warm, wrapped in my arms. Instead, I'm alone, and I'm drinking for two. From the pattern we're in,
Redford, Try to Forget You Tonight. All of these songs are off his album, Color of My Dreams, available on Amazon.com/Jonathan Redford. Jonathan, let's talk about Sundance a little bit. I've had the pleasure to go ahead and interview a lot of people that have been there for the festival. I've had the pleasure of doing my little rinky-dinky red carpet at the Indie Soap Awards in New York. Everybody goes ahead and comments that the Sundance Film Festival is an absolute experience that is unmeasurable, the sense of camaraderie I hear, but tell me your take.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. It's a one-of-a-kind place, and by the time I started working there as a host and doing interviews and red carpets and had so many cool experiences up there, it was a huge festival. My dad actually worked there on the board with music when he was younger, when it was just beginning. I believe, what was it, 2007, where it was 25 years, something like that. So it has become the preeminent place for film and television, for film and independent film. I think it's hard to describe the feel of a place. You know, when a small town gets overtaken by, you know, Hollywood, it's crazy, right? It's pretty amazing. It's a huge undertaking, and it's go, 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 a lot of energy, a lot of cool people around. And, you know, the funny thing is that a lot of people say, well, it's been commercialized and over-commercialized. So you may have called your little red carpet rinky-dink, but there's still something to be said for those small film festivals, which I've been to a lot of them, that have a real indie vibe. And then the large festivals, which have really a true Hollywood vibe now. You know, I kind of go both ways about it. Is it so fun to be there? But at the same time, it is like a big Hollywood party, which may be cool for some people. But to me, it kind of loses its real independence. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, and I don't mean to use Rinky Dink as a negative. Good friends of mine at the Indie Soap Awards invite me back every year for the red carpet. The first year I went, it was very small. It was very tight. You know, it was at a dance studio. The second year I went back, Jonathan, 500 people on the carpet. There was 13 spots. It had grown up overnight. So I understand what you're saying. And it became to the point where I was nervous. And usually I don't really get nervous. And plus I tried because – this is a funny story. I was so overwhelmed by the number of people because of the ending of so many soaps. All of those soap people were actually at the Indie Soap Awards. Now, I don't watch soap operas, so I was trying to scramble. Thank God they had a head sheet that I can kind of quickly look at and glance at. But it got to the point that I didn't even have a drink because I thought, you know what, I kind of have to be big boy here. You know, the first ones are like, hey, have a glass of wine, go ahead and talk to everybody, get everybody drunk. But yeah, I understand that everything grows exponentially. Now, I'm going to ask one more question, and then I'm going to pass it over to Vic. But I'm just going to ask this because it's obvious. Any relation to Bob Redford, the founder of Sundance?
Yes. My grandmother is a big genealogist, of course we know. My grandfather, H.E.D. Redford, and Robert Redford are first cousins. Their dads are brothers.
Wow.
They share the same grandfather. As far as I understand it, his name was Robert Eckersall Redford, and he had 11 children, if I'm remembering the history correctly. And of those 11 children, one of their children was my grandfather. One of the other children was Robert. So, yes, related. And, yes, I did get, you know, some nice access to get to talk to him at Sundance. You know, he actually doesn't spend a whole lot of time at Sundance anymore. He's kind of the shadow CEO, if you will. I've never tried to make that part of my career. You know, everyone asks, why not call him up and have him put you in a film? Well, yeah, of course. If you'd put me in a film, that'd be amazing. But, you know, he's a major, major star. He's a major, major director, and I think his films are brilliant. One of my favorites of all time is Quiz Show. And you know, he's not going to say, "Hey, I'm a grandson of your first cousin. Let's get together." You know, I want to make my own name. I want to do my own thing and establish myself. That's how I've always looked at it.
Well, and you know, I was as you were saying that, I was sitting here literally thinking that, you know, I love it because you are doing this on your own terms. So there's never going to be a time, you know, where somebody can come along and say, oh, just because, you know, Jonathan Rufford is such and such, that he has this treatment or that treatment. So, I mean,
right,
I certainly
right.
Admire you and respect you for that, that you're doing it on your own terms. And obviously you must be doing something right, you know, so far, because, you know, your career is taking you and will continue to take you to amazing places. But I want you guys to make sure you check out his CD. So the music that we've been listening tonight is from Color of My Dreams. And I'm looking at your webpage, Jonathan, right now. So is it true that you sign the some of the CDs or as many of them as you can when they go out?
Oh, every single one, Victoria. I am not a big operation. I'm not overwhelmed with CDs. You know, if anyone's listening out there and wants to order, in my basement, I will pull out my CD from a box. I will open it. I will sign it. I'll put it in an envelope, and I will ship it to you. I mean, this is a guerrilla type of marketing here. This is not a big corporation. It's me and my wife in our house with our furry friends, Simon and Louise, our dog and cat. That's the operation over here.
Well,
lovely.
Listen, normally, and I didn't get a chance to ask you, it was a little bit later, but normally when guests or authors, anyone come on the show, Michael and I always beg them to give us a CD to give away. So promise me we'll make a date for you to come back on the show and talk about some of your new projects. And then perhaps when you come back, do you think you can toss us a little CD that we can give away on the air then on your second visit back?
Well, if we're out of time and can't do it now, I'll gladly do it now or send you some or whatever the case. You know, yes, I'd love to give some CDs away. I want to get my music in the hands and on the ears of as many people in the world as possible. I'm happy to do that.
Well,
Michael and I
will, when the show is over, Michael will get up with you. Now that we can stalk you and we have your telephone number, we'll call you to guess about that. That's why Michael and I love it when guests call in, because we have the switchboard and it tells us everything about you, so then we can just kind of stalk you then. But listen, Jonathan, we spent way much more time than what I told you, so I apologize to you and your wife for taking up 20 extra minutes of your time, but the conversation was good. And also,
no worries.
Who are all of these guests that we have? I don't think you're in the chat room, but, you know, during the show, Jonathan, we have a live chat room. And, Michael, I'm telling you, dude, I can't remember the last time we had this many guests. Who are all of these your fans that's listening right now in the chat room, I guess?
I say thank you. It must be from Facebook. I've built a nice following thanks to my years on QVC, and I say thank you to all of them for listening and sticking with me through everything. That's awesome. That's so flattering and humbling.
Absolutely. Jonathan, where are you? Are you performing now anywhere? What's next up for you?
Well, you know, I would love to be putting some shows together, and that is on my list because in the last year or so, it's been so incredibly busy getting married, vacations. Unfortunately, we've had some tough family tragedies as well. I just haven't been playing live, and I miss it. I really do, and it's something that I'm hoping to put together. You can always check, you know, my Facebook page as well as on my website. I'll post shows, and that's something I want to get back into. Now that I've transitioned from QVC, there's something, I'm going to give another real strong look at music and see if it's something that I could do and make a living to help support my family at. And if I can, I would love it. I mean, it's really a passion. And
oh, absolutely.
It's all about getting people to listen and to come out to your show. So yeah, please check in at jonathanredford.com or at facebook.com/host Jonathan Redford. That page is where I do most of my interaction on Facebook.
And you're on Twitter too, right?
Twitter, yeah.
Yes, it is. It is actually the Facebook Twitter link. I'm not sure I'm young enough to tweet, but I set up the Facebook so that it bounces everything to Twitter, and it has made my life incredibly easier because there were so many things to try and keep up with. So they're one in one. They're hand in hand there.
Make sure you tweet and Facebook about Michael and I and what a wonderful time you had on the show, even if you didn't, just live.
I absolutely will. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for asking me on. I'm flattered and was unexpected, and I thought it was one of those really cool things that happened the moment my career changed from TV to who knows where it's going to be going. But whether it's hosting or acting or music or whatever the heck I get into, I've been loving golf recently. I've been playing a lot of golf.
Boy.
I shot an 82 today. It was really
good.
It was a great day. Yeah.
Well done.
So I don't know. I could get some lessons. I could hit the tour. You never know. You never know where you're going to see Jonathan Redford.
Absolutely, Jonathan.
Hey, can I mention one more thing for you guys?
Please.
Yeah.
I don't want to take up your time if you got someone else waiting.
No worries.
No, Jonathan, it's all about you, sweetie. We have no one else waiting tonight. It's about you.
Oh, shoot. Well, I'll stay on all night. I mean, my wife's in the other room on her laptop listening. I don't think she needs me. What I wanted to say is I have a near and dear friend named Marie-Louise Ludwig who has a charity called Stephanie's House. Stephanie'sHouse.org is the website. It's for building adult homes for folks with autism. She has autistic children, and they are of adult age now, and her concept is brilliant. And it's, I think it's just something that should be go across the country. We've actually written a song together called I Am Somebody, and we're recording it in the studio right now. It's going to be released as a single on iTunes, and it's all in support of the charity. She's got an amazing, she calls it Autism Shops, and she works with behind the scenes with QVC as well and does this amazing auction to raise money for the charity. I just wanted to put it out there. Anyone who's listening, Stephanie's House, you can Google it and find it. It is a wonderful cause with a wonderful woman running it, and it's something that I've been working with and wrote this song with, and I really wanted to have all your listeners go check it out because I'm all about
Michael, how about this? We later on, we get up with Jonathan, and when you guys are ready to do that, we have someone from that organization and Jonathan back on, and we can play the song and talk about it. How about that?
Brilliant. Brilliant idea.
Love it.
Absolutely.
I love that idea. Thank you. That'd be amazing.
Just to get the spelling right on that, is it Stephanie's House.org?
Yes. Stephanie's House.org. That's it.
Great. It's up in chat. We're going to go ahead and like that page a little bit later. Go to Jonathan's page on Facebook, host Jonathan Redford, and again, his webpage is jonathanredford.com. Jonathan, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you. Where are you in Philadelphia?
Just outside, about half an hour. QVC is located in Westchester, and I'm right in that 10-minute range of QVC. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I've only been out here for about 3 years. A west to east transition, but I mean, it was an amazing thing that God did for me. I mean, he brought me out of Los Angeles. I changed my whole personal life. I changed my whole career. I met my wife and her amazing family, and I'm in such a wonderful place.
You're on At Home with Victoria too. I mean, what more could you
exactly.
ask for?
Exactly. Bucket list.
Who knows where that all comes from? It's wonderful.
Well, Jonathan, you're about half an hour away from me, so I'm going to go ahead and give you a ring up and maybe take you and your wife out for a little bite to eat and stuff like that. I'd love to go ahead and get to know you a little bit better.
Michael, that's very kind. We would love that.
Absolutely.
Can I come?
Absolutely.
Wait, now, if you're listening, if you're going to be there, then, you need another woman there. So I generally try to come visit Michael once a month, so you guys have to do this when I get into town, okay? We'll make it happen.
We'll do it, absolutely.
Perfect.
Jonathan, I can't
thank
you enough for joining the show tonight. I want to thank you. And please thank your wife for lending us the extra half hour. But, buddy, I see nothing but a budding career ahead of you, loving your tunes. We're going to go ahead and keep you in the queue here in Tom of Victoria and play you often during shows. Please understand, too, that your home is always here, too. So anytime you've got stuff down the pike, we'd love to go ahead and talk to your dad down the road as well. But
sure.
just absolute true and love and light your way and to your wife.
Yeah.
And you got married May 6th. I mean, you're still in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, thank you. No arguing yet. No disagreement. Still the whole I love it.
I didn't say that. No. We are both entertainment. We are both entertainment people, and she's 6.5 years younger than me. So, hey, there's been arguing. We'll be honest. Marriage isn't easy, but it's a blessing. She's a wonderful woman, and I am absolutely married up.
Fantastic, buddy. Great chatting with you tonight. You have a great time, and like I said, we'll definitely have you back on the show again, Jonathan.
Thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks,
you
Jonathan.
Have a great night. Take care.
Okay, you too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Beautiful,
we
talented, and smart. Ugh.
We are officially Jonathan Redford fans forever. does this mean like we can officially stalk him now in his life?
I think we can. Everybody likes a good stalker, you know, especially if it's if it's nothing
bad. Because basically, right, in your career, you haven't arrived unless you have a stalker. And what better, you know, people to stalk Jonathan and Tracy than you and I, right?
I know, really. People. Seriously. We're very kind stalkers and very obedient. So it's a win-win.
Yes, we know our place. Yeah,
absolutely.
We definitely know our place. But you know what? It's funny that Jonathan had said that this interview and the email that I got came at a time in his life where he literally was making a crossroad and changing. Because like I said, the great thing about At Home with Victoria, you know, we've got fans and listeners all over the U.S. I didn't really know anything about Jonathan. Then one day, you know, one morning, as I always do, I get up, I log on, and I check my emails. And what's funny now that I'm looking at the email that I got, the person, there really isn't a name on there. It just said, "Hey, Victoria, I'm a fan of, you know, you and Michael. I love the show. I know you guys like to have new and upcoming fresh artists on. There's this guy who's really good. His name is Jonathan Redford." And then they literally sent me one of his songs. So I was like, oh, okay, you know how, like, you just never know. People mm-hmm. say stuff. Then I started listening to the song. The first one that you played is It Can't Say.
Yeah,
I started listening to that particular one, and I thought, holy crap. I'm like, we definitely have to get him on the show. So I went to his website. Now, there's been numerous times I've gone to folks' websites to try to get information. No one ever emails me back, and that's even when, you know, you're at the TV station. So I thought, oh, you know, I'll just take a chance. And I really wasn't thinking, honestly, that Jonathan was going to email me back. I just thought it was sort of one of those websites that you have, but you know what I mean? Because we have
no one monitors.
That you don't really use. And then if you use it, you know, you could go an entire month without checking it. So when he got right back with me, I'm telling you, I was just like so super, super excited. So all of this definitely was meant to be. Right, Michael?
Oh, well, that's the way it always works. So, yes, meant to be, too. I want to thank everybody up in chat. Such a wonderful bunch of new guests. Gina from California is joining us. M. Stegan is joining us from Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. And, fantastic. I'm really happy we met. We're definitely going to go ahead and give him a call and take him and his wife out for a little bite to eat when you get here next time, Vic.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Let's close with a little bit of music.
So can we play? I have a request. My favorite one from Jonathan is the first one that you played. Can we play that one to close
Absolutely.
Out the show, please, producer man?
Absolutely. Hey, we got a couple seconds. What did you think about the debates last night, really quickly in 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely thought President Obama came for a showdown and for a fight. I think there were a couple of missed opportunities on Governor Romney's part to kind of get in there and ask him questions about certain things. But, you know, it's clear if you looked at any of the polls, you know, from pretty much most of the major networks, President Obama won that debate. So now what's going to be more interesting, and I was talking to a bunch of journalist friends in D.C., that the latest polls that will come out in the next couple of days, we'll see is that going to give him a bump in the numbers like he had prior to the first debate
right.
where Governor Romney came out on top. So we shall see. But honestly, I just can't wait until this election stuff is over. I'm just so done with it. I'm glad there's only one more debate, you know, just to be like, oh, to be done with it. So.
No, absolutely. And I really thought at a point last night, I thought there was going to be hair pulling. I was
Me
that.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely. However, I want to say goodnight to all the listeners and to you, Vic. And we're going to close the show with more music from Mr. Redford. This is Can't Say Now. Good night, everybody.
Always you, always and only you. You're the only you I ever knew. Then there's she, yeah, she, you know about she. You know she's the only kind that can change my mind so easily. And I know you're hanging on to something, feel
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.